some encouragement that, you know, a lot of times when we face different things in our life, it's very important that we seek understanding. And one of the things that Jesus did that, you know, we probably need to do a little bit more of, and it says in Luke 6, verse 12, it says, it was at that time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, who he also named apostles. Simon, who also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, John, Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, James, his son, Alphaeus, and Simon was called Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place, and there was a large crowd of his disciples and a great throng of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the coastal region who had come to hear him, and he healed them of all their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were being cured, and all the people were trying to touch him, for power was coming from him and healing them all. And it's just one of those things that, you know, when you spend time with the Lord in his presence, the things that are facing you in your life, whether it's individuals or whatever it might be, you know, there's discernment that's required. And, you know, Jesus spending time with the Father all night long, he moved through different levels of discernment. He got his instructions, you know. And sometimes when we're discerning things, we have to see more than just what's wrong with something. We have to see what God wants to do about it. And then we have to stay in prayer until God empowers us to do something about it. And so to move into the will of God, it really takes time to spend time in his presence, to really have a true and accurate discernment of what you're actually facing. And so when he comes down out of his out of the presence, he knows who he's choosing his disciples. He knows what is about to take place in terms of healing and all those types of things. And so God wants to give you the information. So don't think that the Holy Spirit is holding back from you. Spend time in his presence so you have the discernment of what you're actually facing. Because God wants to empower you. He wants to give you an anointing to be able to not just break through, but be able to break through with understanding. To truly be directed by the Holy Spirit is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Because there's nothing that can stop God. Amen? There's nothing that can stop him in your life. And so just be encouraged tonight. Amen? My brother, why don't you come on up? I'm just going to turn it over to him and just kind of stay in this presence. I don't want to interrupt the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Hold on 1 second. Hold up that Bible. No, hold up that one. And this one. Who reads their Bible more? No, hold that one up. That's what a Bible needs to look like, right? Now, I will tell you what. When the new ones come out, we'll make sure you have one of these. Because the difference is there's a difference between genuine leather and top grain leather. Top grain leather is like built to last forever. And that's what we're going for with the next printing is top grain. My son bought me this one because we only printed 100 initially. 10,000 Bibles, we only did 100 because lack of faith and it just seemed too expensive. And this time around, I'm asking God for, I would do 100% this, except that I got these ladies groups that love the purple. And the imitation leather, so we're going to do imitation leather and genuine leather, but these are built to last forever. So this was actually printed like 15 years ago. And my son found it and bought it, so they didn't read the Bible as much as you do. But yeah, brother, thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right. I'm excited to be here. The Lord actually gave me a vision about my visit here. And in the vision, what I saw was Todd and Ralph Walden and a few other prophets and me coming in and them prophesying over me, over the God Speaks Bible, and releasing fresh prophetic anointing on my life. And so that was the number one reason I was here. Number two is to be with you guys tonight. I'll be at International Family Church on Saturday night doing boot camp, prophetic training, and then speaking there, ministering there on Sunday morning, which is really hilarious because I'll tell you where I went to Bible college. Columbia International University, Columbia, South Carolina. You know how many classes we had on the prophetic? Yeah. On hearing God's voice? On casting out demons? On healing the sick? On raising the dead? And then Brenda goes, Richard, we're going to do a conference up here, and I want you to be the speaker, and it's going to be on how to raise the dead. I was like, that's the first invitation I've gotten for that one. And that was a while back, about a year and a half ago or something like that, 2 years ago, something like that. Yeah, so. But I'm excited to be here. I've got some things that the Lord's given me to share. And then before I do that, or I'm never invited back and I get kicked out, have to read Isaiah 50, verses 4 and 5. Am I right? Yeah. The sovereign Lord has given me the capacity to be his spokesman so that I know how to help the weary. He wakes me up every morning. He makes me alert so I can listen attentively as disciples do. The sovereign Lord has spoken to me clearly. I have not rebelled. I have not turned back. I wish I could say that with all my heart, this is absolutely true. But there have been times that I have turned back from the things that the Lord has given me to speak. It's one of the reasons why I was asking for prayer here. Why? Because what I have found very often is people don't want to hear what God has to say. I come into churches and it's like, God, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I've repented of that, okay? And I'm not encouraging that. I'm not teaching that tonight. But I have done that. My first book was originally called Lord Disciple Me. And that word is right in the middle here. It's now called Jesus Training Manual. But it was Lord Disciple Me because I didn't know where to go to learn these things. I was helping write the discipleship curriculum at our church. And one of the reasons I was pegged to do that was I was an intern, first of all, paying CIU like $20,000 to go work for free at a church in Florida and be an intern, an unpaid intern. But I'm there, and I have some computer skills, you know, have my own laptop and had some great training. I loved Ralph Naber was the head of the program that I studied under. And he walked in all of this stuff, but he kept it secret from most of us, okay? We got exposed to it. We went to Singapore, Hong Kong, Malaysia, and Indonesia, and Faith Community Baptist Church and stuff like that. I remember sitting in church one time with a group of seminary students from CIU, and we're at a place called Faith Community Baptist Church with a guy named Lawrence Kong, pretty amazing church, 4 years old, 4,800 people. The service had not even started yet, and there were people, you know, dancing on stage, you know, preparing, and there's, the worship team's practicing, and I'm experiencing something that was very unusual. I didn't know how to speak about it, and I was like, there is something here that I don't know what it is. And other students were kind of feeling the same thing. And I remember I leaned over and I was like, God is here. And they're like, that's it. What an indictment for our whole religious experience, that we were experiencing something we had never experienced before. And it was the presence of God. I could actually tell you almost word for word some of the messages that came forth while I was there. We were only there, I think, 4 weeks. We were over there at like 10 weeks, a whole summer, 8 weeks, 10 weeks. I can't remember, in different places. But we kept coming back to this church. And that's how profound. I can't do that in 1,000 other churches. You know, I don't even remember what I said half the time. But I could tell you point by point things that happened and things that were spoken and things that God did while we were there. The reason for this, some of you, so beginning January 1st, I'd been studying vows for years, Nazarite vows and stuff like that. And one of the things that a lot of times they'd start a vow by shaving their head. And I was like, all right, I'm never doing a vow. And but I know a lot about vows. I could teach you about vows and there are biblical vows. I didn't even know that. I didn't have a class on that. But I heard the Holy Spirit go, would you do that for me? And it was as if I had a razor in my head. I was like, done. Because over time, the more you listen to his voice, the more you watch God do things that you can't explain, things that you can't imagine. So it wasn't like, he wasn't even asking me to. He was just asking if I would be willing to. And I was like, it's done. You know, sometimes we have those walls, never going to Africa. Like I got my degrees in missions and I would go almost anywhere in the world, as long as it wasn't the like the jungles or Africa, because I figured I don't want to sleep in a mud hut and have snakes and scorpions and stuff like that crawling on me. I mean, who's going to sign up for that, you know? It was not my cup of tea. I love Africa now. I've been, but I went kind of kicking and screaming, you know? It was like supernatural, like knock me upside the head. Okay, I'm going. But part of this never turned into a complete vow because I know how serious vows are, and it took me a while to, it was a conversation that I had with the Lord, an ongoing conversation. Because if I made a vow, I would have added all these things, what I was going to do exercise-wise, it would have been like all these things, but it boiled down to, will you listen to my voice every single day? And because I'm redoing the God Speaks Bible, I'll tell you a little bit about it maybe. Don't want to fall down. I'm writing every morning. So when I'm finished with that, I believe that I'll shave, you know, but I shave my head to start the year off because that's how you'd start a vow. And my mom came in the house later that day and I had this conversation with her. She went back into the apartment because they live in an apartment at our house. And then she told my dad, there's this tall guy over there and he was talking to me like he knows me, but I don't know who he is. My own mom didn't even know who I was. So, yeah. It's different. But I have never, all these years, I've been teaching how to hear God's voice. I've been speaking on hearing God's voice, created the God Speaks Bible. But listening every day, for a long time, I struggled to listen. I would hear God all the time. I could hear God for other people. I would hear God in ministry. It was a normal part of ministry. But I struggled to listen for myself. I mean, I could add any discipline to my life. And I was like, why can I not do this? And the Holy Spirit one day, like, illuminated for me why. As much as I would hear God and watch God bless and speak life into other people, I was afraid that I was going to the principal's office. I speak on the Father's love. I teach about the Father's love. But there was something inside that kept me from drawing near to him because I was like, I'm disappointed in me. Anybody else disappointed in themselves? More than most people realize. People think, man, you got confidence and you do all this stuff. Man, I will tell you this, that a lot of fruit, the God Speaks Bible is born out of being with him. Almost all of the great fruit that I've experienced is from being with him and listening to him. And very often it involves doing something that I'd be like, are you sure, God? Really? He's pretty sure of himself. I don't know why I continue to ask that, but there's so often when he's speaking something and I'm like, I don't get it. And afterwards, it's like, wow, God, look what God did. And those become the stories. Those become the testimonies. But you know how much of me was a part of that? So little. I could have said no, though. That's about it. It wasn't my wisdom. It wasn't my... The God Speaks Bible. I'm no scholar. I'm no theologian. I did pretty good in school. This was just being with him. I was going to write a book on hearing God's voice, and I was like, I'm committed. I'm going to study this in depth. And I want to find every time God spoke. Off the top of my head, I was speaking conferences on hearing God's voice. I was like, I could come up with a couple dozen times that God spoke to people. That was more than probably if I surveyed most groups that I could get out of a group. It's incredible when you begin to see at the beginning of each book is who God spoke to. If you see any color, it's God talking. God's talking to all kinds of people. From Genesis to Revelation, almost every character of the Bible, whether they're pagan, whether they're believers, whether they're prophets or kings, God is speaking to people. I didn't know how to hear his voice. Now that I know how to hear his voice, I realize, man, he's been talking to me my whole life. Some of the smartest things I ever did or didn't do, you know what I'm saying? It was the voice of God that kept me out of trouble. And I could describe some of those things, but I never knew that it was God that had spoken it to me. I would describe it like I came home from this date, and I was like, I can't talk to my parents. I go in my room, and I usually pray, and I'm like, la, 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 la. Why am I doing this as a 15-year-old if I don't know how to hear God's voice? Because I didn't want to hear what God had to say about me dating that girl. But I did, and I listened, and I broke up with one of the prettiest girls, and thank God, all the things that he saved me from because I paid attention to that voice that I didn't even know was God. I haven't even started saying anything that I felt like I was supposed to come in here and say yet. I actually listened. I'm at my church I go to. We have Wednesday night prayer and love that time and praying. And Lord's spoken some things to me for that place and hadn't been received. And I was there, I was like, going, what do you want to speak to me? And all of a sudden, he started speaking to me about here. And so I want to share some of that. Actually, before I do that, there were two questions I want to ask. And Todd, I want you to answer this, but I want to hear from others first. What is the gathering? Anybody, what is the gathering?
A group of spirit-filled people that want to be equipped to go out and do the works. We've not been trained.
Awesome. A gathering and an oasis for those of us who need it.
A place of God's peace and healing.
Yeah. What is the gathering?
Say that again. Fed here.
Place to come get fed.
And other people and also get healing.
Hear the prophetic and get healing. Anybody else? What is the gathering? You hear God's voice? Is this unusual? Okay. All right. Yeah.
A place where you can feel his presence.
And shoot basketball with your sister? Yeah. What is the gathering?
It's a place of healing.
The gathering is it's his meeting.
What is it?
It's his meeting.
It's his meeting. Why do you come to the gathering?
To learn how to go out and do God's work as far as laying hands on people, being prophetic, and healing people.
Awesome.
Why do we come? Because we were starved. Mm-hmm. We sat in churches.
Yep.
And didn't ever know that any of this was possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then we experienced it and didn't know what to do.
Why do you come? To know God and experience him deeply. find God's way.
I feel it. It's a hunger in my heart. And I, when I come here, I feel the presence of the Lord, and I feel like I'm getting filled.
Awesome. Yes.
One of the reasons I come is, I've talked to Todd about this, but there's more often than not that the messages that are said here, we hear a lot at the same church that we go to. And so it's just like an extension of the family that we're already part of. So.
What church is that?
The Heritage Co.
Heritage.
To be encouraged and recharged.
Awesome.
Okay, I was just talking to Lewis. I remember a psalm, and it said, "We are gathering together unto Him." And so the gathering of the people is unto Him and is for Him.
Anybody else?
Stir and activate and release each other.
To stir and activate and release each other in the Lord. I was just introduced to Keeping It Real Ministries. I had to check the spelling, make sure it wasn't real, like there was a fishing ministry of some kind, but that's my dad jokes coming out, sorry. But yeah, all right, let me get this guy first.
I come here to praise and to understand the word.
Cool. But I was reflecting on something that God showed me in the God Speaks Bible. And because one of the things I'm doing is I'm writing content to go in it, because I've been in it now I somewhere over 11 times just since I began this project through the Bible. And I see things that are, they've always been there, nuggets that have always been there. But now it comes out a little differently. I want to just highlight one, because it goes along with a lot of what you guys are saying. In 1 Corinthians 14, if you got your Bible, you can turn there. If you got a God Speaks Bible, you're going to see something. I will show you. But I was up here speaking at Brenda's conference, and the Lord, for the first time ever, said, "I want you to speak on 1 Corinthians 14. And I had other stuff planned. And blew my mind. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 21. 1 Corinthians 14 is about prophecy and tongues, okay? And the proper use of gifts and stuff like that. And it says in verse 21, "And it is written in the law." Where is it written? In the law. "By people with strange tongues and by lips of strangers, I will speak to the people. Yet not even in this way will they listen to me." If you got a God Speaks Bible, that's purple. The law prophesied tongues. The Torah spoke about the gift of tongues. I'm like, that's incredible. It wasn't just invented by some crazy, whacked out people in the New Testament. It was prophesied in the law. Stuff like that. So, the thing about 1 Corinthians 14 is it talks about how different people come and the prophetic is released from different people. I believe almost every one of the gifts, well, every one of the gifts is by the Holy Spirit. You can lead, not by the Holy Spirit. You can teach, not by the Holy Spirit. You can preach, not by the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit does it, there's a different anointing. There are things that you cannot do. Well, there is false healings. The occult world has healings. You can do divination and experience a type of healing, okay? I don't encourage it. No, I don't encourage it. Strongly discourage it. There's a price to pay when you enter into that realm, okay? But there are, but the gifts of the Spirit are by the Spirit. Prophecy is by the Spirit. Now you can prophesy by your own will. It talks about the false prophets. You can make stuff up. And you can get good at making stuff up. I'm telling you, in this season right now, I'm like, it is not a popular time for prophets and prophecy. The number of prophets, big name prophets that have been exposed with all types of sexual immorality, with false prophecy, using Facebook and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it is seems like every other day it's a new name. And the and there's some that you're going, I know this person, this ministry will never be touched. And you're like going, oh my gosh, there's stuff going on there. Breaks my heart. If we ever need more understanding of the right way and how to operate in these things, it's now. The need for the real has never been greater. And all this false stuff is being exposed. I got a good lesson tonight before I even got here. I'm sitting with Ralph and Patty and asked Patty what her experience has been like as a female prophet in the South. And it was amazing the wisdom that came forth. I was like the seasoned insight. She was like, she was like, Ralph, if I ever get proud, kick me. He said, I've never had to kick her. But one of the things that often happens when you begin to listen to his voice and God does things that only God can do is it can be kind of heady. I'd have people reach out to me to cast out demons in the early days. I'm just a Baptist youth pastor. Why are they an ex-Baptist youth pastor? All right, a Baptist youth pastor is kind of low on the totem pole, you know, but an ex-Baptist youth pastor is even lower, okay? And they're, you know, it's just doesn't equip you to do the stuff of kingdom, okay? But people are reaching out and wanting me to cast out demons. And I'm like, let me find someone. Todd, can you... You know, no, they can't drive 7 hours. I didn't even know Todd. You know, I'm like, I don't know anybody in this arena. And the people that I did charged money, and it was a drive for these people. And I'm like, I'm doing everything. I want to help them, but they don't want to come to me. Who am I? The enemy's always attacking our identity and our destiny. I knew about my own struggles, my own failing. I was like, I want to get rid of the demons in me before I can cast any demons out of anybody else. And so I would try to get, you know, put them off somewhere else. And next thing I know, they're sitting in front of me. And inside I'm going, man, if they only knew who they were sitting across from, they wouldn't be here. I ain't got nothing. I like leading worship, and I would feel God's presence when I lead worship. So sometimes I go, can I play a couple songs first? Because something happens when I'd be worshiping, I'd be like, yes, okay. And I'd do a couple songs. And then I had some scriptures that I would quote. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he's anointed me. Now that's about Jesus, okay? But he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to open blind eyes and these things. And then I would, you know, quote Matthew 10, where he sent out the 12 and he gave them power to heal the sick, to raise the dead and all these kind of things. And then I would be quoting in Mark 6 and in Luke 9. And when I got to Luke 10, all of a sudden it wasn't about the 12, it was the 72 others. And I was like, okay, we don't even know their name or their age or their IQ. Jesus called them even little children. And they said, even demons submit to us. So I'm thinking, by this time, maybe I've gotten up to the status of an other. I'm not a disciple. I ain't Jesus. But maybe I'm an other. And I begin to quote these things and remind myself of what I knew here, but it was always under attack and I didn't get it here. And it wasn't long before I'm like, there ain't a demon in hell that can stand in the way. Are you ready? I'm ready. You know? And we'd take authority and they'd get free and I'd be like, woo! I mean, I felt like I'm walking, you know, 3 feet off the ground. I want to go tell everybody, look what I did, look what I did. Of course, the enemy, as soon as I walk out that door, is reminding me of the last time that I gave in to temptation and all the stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I now I remember. I'm a nothing. I'm a worm.
I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Somebody else starts reaching out, wants help. What am I going to do? I can't find anybody. Todd's not available. I haven't even met him yet. Looking all over. And I get back in that place, and I remind myself of who I am, and remember who I am. And then all of a sudden, I'd be looking at him, and I'm like, how do I know this? I don't know this. But I'd start, there's a lady named Karen. Who's Karen? I don't know. More confident you become in listening to his voice, I'm still seeing Karen. It's like, somebody in your church named Karen? No. Somebody from your past named Karen? There's a girl I dated when I was 15. The guy was 51 years old. He was a pastor, getting ready to leave his wife, and thus his church. And I said, you had sexual relations with her? And he goes, yeah. I said, you still have her picture in your wallet? He was like, and her phone number's on the back of the picture. And he's like, yeah. How long has it been since you saw her? Like 5 years. Ran into her in the post office. I said, but you fantasized about her for 18, for however many years that was, 30 some years. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, you got to break up with a fantasy. He said, I can't do that. It was 11 o'clock at night. And I was like, then I can't help you. I'm ready to go home and go to bed. You got to break up with this fantasy. And God saved his marriage. This Baptist pastor started having healing and deliverance in his house. I had nothing to do with that. When we learn to listen and do what he says, you see him do what only he can do. So what did the Lord say for this place? I almost forgot. The Lord said, I love the gathering. I love a people and a place that makes room for me, for my voice, my gifts. Many fear letting go of control. The Lord said, Todd is a son. A son of God, but a son first of all. Sons of God, son of God carries power and authority, miracles, victories. Yes to all that, but son is better, simpler, close to my heart. You have grown to maturity. You're good with me, even if nothing happens, just being together. He's going to do stuff in and through you, and you're already starting to see that. But it comes because that's not what it's about. It's about being with him and that intimacy. The Lord says, you are worthy of double honor. He said, the gathering, that some here have been hurt and rejected. You've stepped out and then you were shut down. You asked the wrong question. They were the right questions, but the people you ask, they're scared. They're scared of the questions because they don't have answers. Sometimes what you're seeing and what you're writing down, you see more than what you write down. Okay, so this next part was twofold. I saw pastors here, but I also saw pastors in some of your lives. So it was interesting because I could see them simultaneously. We said, I see insecure but hungry pastors. You want more, but it scares you. You know that you've quenched my spirit. What happens if you really let go? What happens if you let her prophesy? What happens if you tell them what you have seen and heard? Who will leave? Would we survive? And the Lord says, will you trust me? I don't know who that's for, but I believe I saw it like some of you, that's what you've been up against and you didn't understand it.
the leaders have, those are the fears and the insecurities that they feel torn between. They are hungry. They want it. They'll sing about it. They'll talk about it. But letting go, getting out of the way, it's scary. I've watched God do more the more I learn to get out of the way. When I facilitate people hearing God's voice, it is a scary thing because it's time to shut up. Oh! And trust that they're going to listen and respond to what he is speaking to them. I actually want to make room for that tonight. I don't want to just talk about it. I don't know if you've come here tonight and you have a word already from the Lord and it's been stirring inside and it's been burning and you're like, but you're so used to holding it in and holding it back because of you've been taught. You've been taught wrong. We have taught wrong. We've been afraid to stop talking and let things come forth. What it says in 1 Corinthians 14 is if one is bringing a revelation and another has a revelation, let the first one be silent and let another speak. I don't know if the Lord wants to begin to speak even right now. Maybe you didn't come here tonight thinking you're going to have a place. And I think I already mentioned to you, I've said, Lord, I don't want to hear. Because when I listen, I do hear. And there isn't a place for releasing that. And very often people look at you like you got two heads if you say something. I have a reputation and people like, oh, if I show up at their church, I'm like, oh, Richard Mull's here. That does not mean that they want to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say for that place. It's a window dressing. If, even as I'm sharing, even as I'm speaking, the Lord is giving you something tonight. I just want you to raise your hand or just stand up and I'll bring it and I'll give the mic to you. Okay? But one of the things that I believe the Lord was saying, that there are people here that have been hurt deeply, been silenced, shot down, corrected. I don't know hardly any prophets that haven't stepped across the line and done something that they look back and go, man, I wish I hadn't done that. There might be some in here, Todd's probably one of them, but I know there's times that I'm like, oh man, that was out of line. There's a place for correcting things. There's a time for it. I believe God wants to heal some wounded prophets, prophetesses. Being told that God can't speak through someone like you. Oh, you were divorced. God can't use you anymore. Oh, you're a woman? Eh. Not south of the Mason-Dixon line. No, I'm just kidding. Not in our denomination. What do we do with the prophet Huldah in the Old Testament? The king went to her. What do we do with other prophetesses? What do we do with deaconesses? It's not what I'm here to talk about. I believe God wants to heal some wounded hearts, some wounded prophets tonight. I believe he wants to re-engage you. Like I came here to be re-engaged. I believe there's some in here that he wants to ignite, re-engage, release your tongue to speak. If you've been wounded, if you've been shut down, would you just stand? If you go, I need healing. I've spoken out and been shut down. I didn't say would all the ladies stand. I don't even mean to make light of that. I wonder sometimes why there are so many more males operating in these roles, even in the Bible. Because in my experience, women seem to have a greater push towards intimacy with God, towards listening, than men do often. Now, I think there's things going on in our society that have affected that. Like, there's a lot of guys carrying a lot of shame and other things that keep them distant from God. I don't know all the reasons. But I do believe that God wants to heal the hurts and the wounds. And I want to address the women first, but it's interesting because I was studying, I think it's in, it was at your conference last time, where the Lord was revealing stuff about the women should be silent. And I was like, it's the only time that it's translated that way. That word is normally, it's not be silent. It's only translated that way one time. And every version translates it that way. But every other time they translate it, hold their peace. That's what it is. And so I was like, Lord, what are you showing me here? Why is this? And I believe that because women have that greater propensity for language and words, and because of their push for intimacy, that sometimes there's a powerful role that you can have in going, come on, honey. I know you've got something. It's not be silent. It's help bring it out of the men in your life. Honor them. There's more. It's not what I'm here to teach about. Because there's been some anointed women that I've wanted to have. We've mostly had women on our team. I've trained a lot of women, and they've made up our team. And there have been some that carry an incredible anointing, but I don't bring them in, because when they come in, this is what they do. And I'm like, I don't need anybody on team that wants to push me or anybody else out of the way and exalt themselves. And I'm like, come on, I see the anointing, but out of that hurt and the wounding and the realization that you've got some anointing, you want to usurp authority. And I'm like, come on, I see the anointing. I know that you hear, but humility is vitally important. And I don't know if that's for anybody, any of you, But it is, we need to start getting our eyes open to the right way to work together to build his kingdom. We need the anointing in women, and we need the anointing in men. So I just want to repent as a man to every one of you for every time that we've ignored you. Haven't acknowledged your voice. All the lies about being silent. I want to release fresh oil that you're going to hear so clearly. My wife walks in the prophetic, and there ain't nobody that realizes she's walking in the prophetic. She carries it so sweetly and so beautifully. I don't know that anybody's ever been offended, you know? And I'm like, but she's just like, I was praying for you, and this is what I, you know, felt. And it's beautiful, it's powerful, and people are like, oh my gosh, you nailed it. Only people that understand the prophetic will go, that was a prophetic word. And I just want to pray for supernatural grace to carry that anointing well in a Southern culture that just does, it does damage to the heart of women. I'm sorry, I know it. Murray. I just pray fresh oil and fresh favor over you. And the same thing that as the Holy Spirit reveals things, that you're going to carry it with a new level of grace and wisdom. Oh! Guys can be seated. Oh, what's your name? Preston. Father God, I thank you that, Lord, you anoint the youth, Lord, and that you can speak powerfully. The only one that confronted Job that wasn't rebuked was Elihu, the young one. We don't know why. Father God, he was the one that exalted you. Oh, defended you. Father God, I pray that you would anoint Preston. Freedom to speak. Freedom to release what the Lord is giving you with grace, with wisdom and power. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm telling you what I was, so I personally was wrestling through so much. I as soon as I had the vision of these guys laying hands on me coming up here, right when that was done, I began to have a prophetic word for pastor at the church I go to. And it was a powerful word, a beautiful word, a life-giving word, but it was a conditional word. You understand? Like, this is what God wants to do. This is where he wants to release his presence and his power. But there's something that stands in the way. And I saw Jesus weeping and wailing because throughout the congregation and even in the worship team, there were people that were messing around unknowingly with things of the occult. Video games, movies, books, things of that nature. I can't tell you how many people I've cast demons out of that they came in through playing a video game, through watching Harry Potter, through, I didn't have a theology that you watch Harry Potter movie, you get a demon, okay? I still don't, I don't teach that. I don't necessarily believe that. But I've cast demons out of numerous people that's when and how they came in. Do you understand the difference of what I just said? I'm not saying everybody that does that has a demon, all right? I just, by experience, know that we've cast demons out of people and that's when and where it came in. I mean, I'm telling you what, nothing ticks people off more in church than when you start messing around with their books or their movies. They want to defend it like tooth and nail. I've been shocked because the Holy Spirit's had me speak on it before. So I get it. I get why people might be afraid to step on that toe. I had a guy recently come to me, and he was having all kind of apparitions in his house, stuff going on, and I'm like, Holy Spirit just goes, ask him about his video games. I mean, we're 1 minute into meeting, and he's having stuff happen that's Amityville Horror kind of stuff, you know? And he goes, I play video games, but they're not bad ones. And he has Oculus, and I'm like, okay, I know a little bit about Oculus, and just that word alone, Oculus, occult, you know, that it's a little bit questionable. So anyways. I asked him for his games, so I'm sitting there, and he's telling me his games, and I'm looking them up, and he's telling me the different games that he played, and I could pull it up on my notes, but somewhere around a dozen games, every single one of them has a cult in it, even some that I know are popular, and I wouldn't have known that, but you have to get it to a certain level, but many of his were straight up satanic occult video games. People are playing all kind of stuff, and they have no idea the doors that they are opening up. He chose his video games over freedom. He chose the torment happening in his house over freedom. So I have this word for my church. And it sits there. Every time I go to pray, I'm hearing Jesus weeping and wailing over this. And I'm like, Lord has me, I ask him, because the Lord's pulling me out of my comfort zone, and I'm like, I have this word from the Lord, can I share it today? And he goes, yeah, wait till the very end, and I'll call you up, you know, if in case I forget, like, wave at me. So I go down there, and I'm sitting on, I move down to the front row, I'm standing there, and altar calls happening, and, you know, everything's going on, and I'm like going, he never even looks at me, and he closes the service out. Later, he texts, he goes, oh, man, I forgot. And I was like, I don't know. But I was wrestling with rejection, with, I'm just done here, wrestling with all different kind of stuff. There's stuff that you wrestle with when you carry a message from the Lord. I teach people, you need to give the word and let it go. That's easier said than done. Because my heart's vested in seeing the fruit of the promise attached to that word. And I'm also attached to the heart of God and hearing his weeping and wailing. And I understand people's fears. Plus, how do I entrust someone else to carry an understanding of the occult that they don't have? You see, we need each other. A lot of my study before I came, and I have so much notes, and I haven't touched any of them. Not sure that I will touch any of them. But the kings who brought revival in Israel and their relationship to the prophets. One of the things as I'm going through and I'm writing stuff and I'm looking at God speaking in throughout Kings and Chronicles, it's almost all a revelation of prophets. With kings, prophets hearing from God, kings sometimes hearing from God. David heard from God a lot, and he still needed prophets. And when a prophet came and he brought a life-giving message, it encouraged the kings, and they would you know move forward. And sometimes, like Hezekiah, was like believed the army that was against him was massive. And the prophet comes to him and says, you're going to have a victory. You just need to worship. And he puts the worshipers in front. That took some faith. Either that or, well, we'll protect the army. If God's going to protect us through worshipers, we'll put them in the front, you know? At least let them get taken out first. I don't know exactly what his thoughts were. But it's a pretty amazing story. Responding to the prophets. You know, there's a lot of times I also have in here the prophets that were killed for their message. The prophets that were imprisoned for their message. Most of the great revival kings, I never saw this before, didn't end well. They responded with humility and repentance and chased after God, set up, two of them set up traveling ministry teams that included the Levites, the prophets, the priests, and their advisors. So I was like, wow, this is incredible. But then when a prophet would come and go, you should not have made an agreement with Israel. You should not have made an agreement with Syria. God's angry with you. Off to jail. Stone him. They started well, brought revival. Because they didn't listen to the voice of the prophets, it didn't end well for many of them. This is what I'm studying as the Lord's re-engaging me with the prophetic. Gee, I want to sign up for it. I want to be one of those that gets killed He gets thrown in jail. Sometimes you go, God, can I be the prophet that shows up with this kind of message? Anybody ever, you want to be that kind of prophet? A lot of times prophecy is life-giving and is upbuilding. And some people say all New Testament prophecy, that's all that it is. And I ain't a prophet. Because very often my mind, there's a mixture. There's a promise and there's a blessing and there is what the heart of God is. But there's a condition and there's something that needs to be done. And when that isn't done, the blessing is missed. Nobody's raised their hand and nobody stood up. Is that because God is not speaking? Or is that because there's fear? We're not supposed to do that. Is there anybody here tonight that was like, I know that the Lord has been stirring a message in me and a word in me, and I wasn't sure I was going to have a chance, but you don't need to be afraid. I know that this is a place where there is freedom. Ralph was telling me about the freedom at International Family Church. And he goes, but there's normally only three or four people that's the same rotation. And I was like, is that because God isn't speaking to more than that? Or is it because there's fear? Because we've not been taught how to listen and how to hear. I don't call myself a prophet. I don't know that that will be a title that I take, even though I've had this prayer over me, not because I'm against titles, because I believe the Lord's told me that I have an apostolic calling. I don't usually use that as a title because I hate what I see with titles nowadays, okay? But apostles prophesy. Teachers can prophesy. Any gift can prophesy. It's a difference between like the office and the ability to. I believe every child of God can hear his voice. And he says, my sheep hear my voice. And I believe if we hear his voice, there are times that he embarrasses me by what he says to me because his love for me is much greater than I believe I'm worthy of. And there's other times where it's like, ooh, do you want me to send that to them? Really? I've been doing it every day and it's weird. There's a lot of days I'm like, God, you told me yesterday you love me. I know. Like, isn't there something like more amazing, cool, prophetic, like that could get me on the Elijah list or something, you know? Lord wants us to be content with his presence. He one of the things that he said to me recently, he said, I love you. And I just said, I love you back. And it was one of those times where I was like, man, like I know that. Like I know that. And I mean it back. Like it was just a real tender moment, you know, because there's sometimes I'm like, well, I don't like me. And sometimes that's what I'll say to him. I love you. I said, I love you. And he goes, you want to know about the apple of my eye? And I'm like, I wasn't aware that I wanted to know that because a bunch of people were telling me that Israel's the apple of his eye. And I was like, hadn't studied that passage in that context. People were saying that. And the Lord's like, you're the apple of my eye. He said, I want you to go research that right now. The apple of my eye. Blew me away what I discovered. But one of the things about that is some understand that expression to mean this. When you get really close to someone and you look in their eyes, you can see your reflection in their eye. You have to be pretty close to see yourself. And that's what that expression means. It's you are the apple of his eye. So there's that kind of intimacy. So what the Lord was telling me is, Richard, you and I are this close. I didn't want to write it down because I thought that's reserved for his people. That's, you know, for them. And the Lord's like, it's those that are intimate with me. I believe in this room, some of you know that you're the apple of his eye. You're used to seeing him that intimately, that close. And you can't even express it to others because you've been judged by others and others don't realize that, but you go, he's my best friend. I went to a Presbyterian college one time and they wanted me to come in and teach healing and deliverance to the college leadership, student leadership. I was like, do you guys know what you're doing? Because it was students that were in charge that picked me. And there was one staff member who had read my book and was cool with it. And he was like, not like a full-time paid staff. And I was like, man, this is a recipe for disaster, but Lord, okay, I'm game. This will be fun, you know? And I get there and it was a powerful, these guys were all, you know, like good-looking athlete. They were chosen to be leaders on campus. And the reason they had these roles was one of the ways they got scholarships for sports was by being dorm leaders and stuff like that. So, you know, it was the way for the school to save money and stuff like that. And I'm training these guys. And it's the last day, and I've been ministering to kids till I fall asleep. You know, like they're coming to my room and with other people. I'm praying over kids, and I'm getting ready, and I have to eat lunch and then head to the airport. It's a small amount of time. And all of a sudden, it's about 35 people. The Lord begins to give me words for each one of them. I'm like, Lord, this is really inconvenient right now. And I was like, I'm going to run out of time. I've got to make my flight. But I was like, just, you know, I can't make that happen. But it was happening. But I get to this one girl, and of all the students I had interacted with, I was like, I never even noticed this girl. She was a little bit smaller, you know, kind of quiet. And I walk up to her, and I was like, I'm hearing this song. How sweet it is to be loved by you. God, even knows secular music. Blew my mind. How sweet it is to be loved by you. I was like, you love me so much, and it ministers to me. And as I'm saying that, her friends are going, how does he know? How does he know? You know, and it was like, I was like, wow, God, I want to be someone that you could sing, how sweet it is to be loved by you. Brother, you got something special here. You make room for him. I do want to see a release of the prophetic here. That you would come having been listening. Listening when you're here. And the cool thing is, when you learn how to listen and you can get away with doing it at church, and nobody knows you're prophesying, most of the time you can do that and you don't get in any kind of trouble. Jesus got in trouble all the time. Okay? Yes.
I'm new to this. I'm learning. But your book right here, I have read. It's fantastic. It's simple. I don't know who in here needs to read it, but it's here.
Yes.
I've had two visions the last probably month. Me and my friend get together. We do hour in tongues, and then we see what the Lord shows us. The first vision I had was I saw the systems of the world burning and on fire. And I saw people running out of those worldly systems, and they ran right into the ecclesia, those of us that know the Lord, and they were discipled by us. And then they ran right straight back into the system to pull the people out. And the other one I had recently, I saw if you take your hand and you're under like deep water and you start moving your hand on the bottom, the water on top starts moving. Well, the water started moving. I said, there's something underneath the water. And then it kept getting bigger, and there were big wave caps. And then it got to be like, you know, huge waves. And then the Lord showed me down below, there were people floating in the water because the water was real stirred up from the bottom up. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, oh, sea of humanity is going to get stirred up. And they're going to be tossed like this. But I saw people studying deep and deep in the deep water, i.e. of the word. They were in caves. They were studying. And they would come out of the caves two or three at a time and grab a hold of the people that were kind of floating around like, ah, and they stabled them. And so the people got out of the sea of humanity, walked on the shore, and were immediately adopted by people that would disciple them. And they washed them off, they dried them off, and they discipled them. And I came out of that going, I don't know how to disciple new believers. I don't know how to do this, but there is going to be a need for disciplers, for new believers that were tossed about. And I'm used to dealing with people that are saved but want to go deeper. I don't know how in the world to disciple a new believer. I mean, I can pray inner healing. I can do generational breaking and stuff like that because that's what I do. But there's going to be a whole need, the Lord showed me, for a whole network of disciplers, for the people that are going to go back, you know, leave the world systems, which are going to be on fire, and so they could go back. They're going to need a whole different kind of training than the people that are tossed about in the ocean. They're like, you know, to lead them. So I've started like, I need discipling material because I don't know how to do this. So those are the two things that I saw. I never got a timeline. The systems aren't burning yet. The water is stirring. So that's what I saw.
I will say what the Jesus training manual, you as Lord Disciple Me, was born out of me going, what did Jesus teach his disciples? He took 12 ordinary guys. They weren't religious leaders. They weren't Bible trained, seminary trained. They weren't churchgoers. And when I saw what he taught them, I'm going, I'm not a disciple. He started with teaching them the... When I look at inner healing and I look at the Sermon on the Mount, I'm like going, that's a primer for inner healing. You got unforgiveness. You got worry. All of these things. And so don't go to the... to the systems and the books that have been there. Go to the Word. Let the Holy Spirit lead you what it means to make disciples.
When the Lord gives me a word, he usually gives me a single word. And right now, I'm hearing the word reflection. And he's speaking to my heart, but I'm sure he speaks to other hearts as well. That who we are in Christ in the Word now is a reflection of who we've allowed him to be in us. I've been learning a lot about light, and those of you who know me, about windows. And it's about how much we allow him. And then he's saying, simply be. Don't try. Simply be. A reflection of who he is in you.
What's your name? Penny. So when I first wanted to hear God's voice, all I could hear was, trust me. Now it was a book this thick. I want you to trust me with your finances. I want you to trust me with your future. I want you to trust me to disciple you. I knew everything in those words.
And I'm like, that's the devil. That ain't God. Because he meant trust me with his finances. I got to go find a job. Trust me. Trust me. So when I finally was like, I think I know what he's trying to tell me. He's telling me to trust him. It took me like 3 months and I finally told my wife and she goes, I've been praying that you would hear that. So then I'm like, I sit down with my computer. I'm like, all right, I'm trusting you. So what do you want me to do? And I type out 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year. I want the plan and the goal. And the Lord's like, I'm like, so what do you want on here? And he goes, I can't wait to see what is going to be on there. I'm like, no, come on, Lord, tell me that's what I want. And he goes, he's like laughing at me. And he's like looking forward to seeing what I'm going to put on there. I'm like, no, I want you to help fill this out. And he's like, be with me. So I went from 2 words, see, I started more than you, sorry, to 3 words, be with me. Okay, I'm here and you're here. I'm with you. What do you want me to do? Be with me. Okay, I'm here. What do you want me to do? Be with me. This is what happens when you learn to just be with him. So sometimes we're like, I want this masterpiece like Ralph gets, you know?
So my husband was in John 14 the other week, and I heard a teaching about that being marriage language, Jewish marriage language. And so in the Jews' time, the groom would come, make the arrangements with the bride's father. Then he would go back to his father's house, build their living quarters. And then when the father says it's ready, the son goes and gets the bride and takes her back to the father's house. And that's what he meant by, I am the way. I'm the bridegroom. I'm coming to get you. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And just when he was talking about that, and I said, are you going to talk about the marriage language? Because he was preparing a sermon. And it just hit me about my grandparents. And this fits with what you were just saying. My grandma never drove. And so she never looked at a map. She never got directions. She never worried about how to get there. She just got in the car with Grandpa, and he took care of that. He was the way. And so she didn't ever have to worry about that. And I thought, too, when I was a child, I never asked my dad, how do we get there? I just got in the car because I knew my dad knew the way, so I didn't worry about it. And that's like the faith of a child, right?
So when you read this verse earlier, it sort of blew my mind. It didn't sort of blow my mind. It did blow my mind. In Isaiah 50, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He awakens me morning by morning, awakens my ear to listen like one being taught. So this morning at like 4 o'clock, I woke up. And I said, good morning, Jesus. I want to hear from you. And I've been working with Todd. I'm a pastor of a church. And we're supposed to meet tomorrow for lunch. And so anyway, I just kind of drifted back off to sleep for another couple hours. But when I woke up, I had a very, very intricate, detailed, meticulous plan that there's no way, like literally when I went to bed, I was in despair, and when I woke up, I was full of joy. So these verses literally say, you know, he wakens me in the morning and wakens me to listen like one being taught. That happened to me today. Amen.
And it was like, so
the Lord, when I first started hearing his voice, I'd wake up and for hours, I would just be with him and getting downloads. And the Lord is like, I want you to write a book that will impact the world. I'm like, great idea. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I hate English and I hate writing assignments, but I knew it was good stuff. It was like worthy of a book, but I'm like going, someday when I'm old, gray haired, you know, I'll figure out, maybe I'll learn how to write a book sometime. And he stopped talking to me. The day, you know, was different because I was used to it every day. 2 days, I was getting a little nervous. And I don't know how many days it was before I was desperate. And I'm like going, God, why is there sin in my life? Why is this? And he's like, you haven't obeyed me. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. I was like, I got to get out of my comfortable seat where you talk to me and go over and turn on a computer. It used to take 3 minutes for them to turn on. Do you remember that? You know, sitting on a cold chair. And it was like, now I will speak to you again. You know, and it was just a little step of obedience. It seemed huge, but now that's my favorite thing.
Question or response of discipleship, and I've been a believer for a long time, but being discipled is a different story. I've looked at some of your stuff online, your discipleship, that's been on my radar. You know, the other thing that I would encourage the gathering is older women, look for women that are hungry and want to be poured into. I don't know what the scripture is, but older women, teacher, you said Titus 2? I'm looking for that. I'm hungry for that. You know, when you come from a family of dysfunction and you create your own dysfunction and you don't know what peace looks like, you don't know what order looks like, I'm desperately trying to get there, and I need that. I'm looking for that. So I encourage you to, whether it's me or whether it's somebody else that's in your radius, to look for people to pour into. And it's, you know, too many people are busy. They're just too busy for people. And people need relationship. They need, there's so many needs. But what do you have, or what would you suggest on true discipleship when we're not getting it in the mainstream?
I do think it's the foundation. I think it's one of the most important things. And I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with different pastors. I think it should be, we should be teaching from the children's church. The inner healing should start. Teach them forgiveness. Teach them all the how to keep doors closed. Teach them about the occult when they're born, and raise them up in that, so that we would be able to respond to all the people and all the crises and stuff like that. I have almost never, I've had to look to people, not in my area, not people that have time to sit down with me, but I consider different people my mentor, and I glean as much as I can from them, and then I find someone else. Now, a lot of times they don't, I've had the fortune of having some amazing people. None of them have had time to like make time for me all the time, but I'm going, I want their DNA, and I let it become my DNA. And some of it's reading their books and stuff like that. I wish I could find people. Many times I operate in that role in ways with people who don't necessarily see they have a need for discipleship. And I'm like, God, I don't want this. I want hungry disciples. And people are like, Richard, you got to stay here. You got to be committed here. You change the room. You change the dynamic. And I'm like, you know, I have hungry disciples, 20, 30 somethings, that call me from around the country and around the world. And I'm like, that's where the ones that I'm like going, you know, and I'm like, I don't have, none of them pay me, and I don't have time for all of that. But I'm like, that is like, that's the richest, you know, part when you find people that are that hungry. So, yeah, I know we're probably way past time, but, yeah.
Thank you, Richard. Let's all stand to our feet. So, a conglomerate of books over there. I advise you, just if you need something in your library, there's, you'll find something over there. That'd be good. Amen. This was good. There's so much, you know, everything here is recorded. So if you go to our website, tgosc.com, just think of the gathering of southcarolina.com. There's a myriad of all kinds of different messages there. Everything's recorded. The words are recorded so that you're, and it's all free. So you're more than welcome to go on there and get whatever you need. All right. Father, we just thank you for what you've done in our midst, Lord. What a blessing it is to be in your presence. And we just thank you, Lord, that there's so many seeds, Lord, that have gone forth in that word tonight. And you just seemed like you were here in just such a haze, Father, that I guess the glory cloud was like a haze tonight, Lord. We're looking forward to the time that the floor is too high here. And we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for what you've done. We just give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got words for everybody, I know there's a lot of different prophetic ministries. Feel free to move. And if you need ministry or any capacity, feel free to come on up and we'll make sure that you get ministry. Amen.
Yeah.